Brian Bushlack is back with Business Briefing on AM 770 KTTH.
And welcome back, 8:31 here, as we continue our focus on restaurant and hospitality this weekend here on AM 770. And we've called on really the top restaurant attorney in the entire nation, Riley Laugesen at Davis Wright Tremaine, representing some of the biggest restaurants and restaurateurs in the entire nation. And it's interesting what's happening because the Northwest is really the epicenter for the restaurant scene. I talked to Riley, though, about some of the biggest challenges many of our restaurateurs are facing these days.
Well, Riley, it's an interesting time for restaurateurs, not only in the Northwest, but around the country. A lot of change in the industry. We had, obviously, a pretty major recession that I know some are still recovering from. Let's take a snapshot of what that did to the industry and how things have changed because of it.
The recession had a dramatic impact on the restaurant industry, as it had on many other industries. Restaurants, it's easy to see the impact because customers stop coming in or they start spending less and changing their habits. During the recession, we saw some rather dramatic changes, not only in spending habits, where consumers were obviously holding on to their dollars more than they had previously. In some segments in the restaurant industry, fine dining, casual dining in certain segments were hit particularly hard early and in a sustaining manner. But we also, at the same time, saw a tremendous amount of innovation with restaurateurs understanding that it was not going to be the same as it had been and making adjustments whether to their existing restaurants or a lot of new restaurants that were created during the recession that were tailored to the new economic model, both with respect to how consumers were spending their dollars, but also on top of this, we were going through a very dramatic renaissance, so to speak, in culinary evolution. And consumers are eating differently, not only with respect to health-related offerings, which we're seeing a greater prevalence of, but also more diversified dining and ethnic food has really taken a hold in a number of different ways. So and we're still in the middle of this. It's a very exciting period in where, while some restaurants that have been around are still struggling to get their footing back because of the economic changes, there's a lot of restaurants out there that are really flourishing and growing very nicely under this new model. So it's for the customers, it's never been, I think, a more engaging and exciting time. We have some things ahead that are coming down right now that are going to present some more challenges to restaurateurs that they're really going to have to deal with. That's on top of mind.
We'll talk about those challenges coming up in our next segment. Obviously, our audience knows what it is. If you own a business, we're talking healthcare. We'll talk more about that with Riley Laugesen in our next segment. But I want to focus on the positives in this segment because it's been a great opportunity for restaurateurs like our friend Tom Douglas, Guy Fieri, others that you work with to really expand their restaurant empire, if you will, not only in the Northwest, but around the country. And as a consumer, what I've noticed, Riley, is that in the past 3 or 4 years, the customer service in the restaurant industry has grown by leaps and bounds, where you go into a restaurant and if you don't get good customer service, whether it's your first trip or maybe your 10th trip, you might not come back, right?
It's hard to get away with bad service these days as much as some will want to try. So I'm just kidding about that. But you really need to be on the top of your game to do really well in the business. And that has always been the case, but you have to take it to a new level, and that's what we're seeing with a lot of the groups that are doing really well. These great entrepreneurs have taken a look at their service models as well as their culinary execution, their training, and how they engage and incentivize employees, and they are really working hard to provide an exceptional experience to their guests and to their employees. So we've seen a lot of new concepts that are growing really nicely around the country. And if you look even in Seattle, you'll see the Veggie Grill out of California that's added a few places there. The Matador Group that has Matador, and also the Kick and Boot and the Annex that they just opened. They're doing some really great things. Top Pot Donuts has opened a whole bunch of new locations up there. Obviously, Portland is seeing great growth from a number of folks. Andy Ricker has taken that big step out to New York and is just doing phenomenally there with Pock Pock and doing great things here in Portland. He's opening his new noodle bar, Senyai, which should be a really nice addition to the Portland restaurant scene. So there's so much talent in these markets, and there's so many great things that they're doing to advance the restaurant business, both on the culinary side and the service side, that it's really a good time to be in the business.
Riley Lagesson, the top restaurant attorney in the entire U.S., joining us here on Business Briefing this weekend. Glad you could join us as well. And Riley, it's been an interesting time in other respects. You mentioned some of the top restaurants in our region. Let's talk about the rise now of fast casual. Define that for our audience, and why has this been such a major growth sector in the restaurant industry?
Fast casual's defined as, and there's different variations of it, but it's typically counter service, like Chipotle, a higher quality food offering where there's no tipping, customers either receive their food at the counter or they wait and it's brought to the table. So the footprint of the restaurant is usually smaller than a full service dining restaurant where you'd sit down and have your orders taken at the table. They're usually looking at between 1,500 and 2,500 square feet of real estate. And a lot of them are lunch driven. Some have breakfast components, some have dinner components. But they're appealing, one, from an economic standpoint. They're a little bit more expensive than fast food restaurants, but they're priced lower than full service dining, and they provide a high quality of food, which puts them into that level of appeal that's really allowed them to grow nicely during the economic downturn and as consumer preferences have changed. So that's the area where we've seen this largest amount of growth the last few years. I think that's going to continue for some time, although we're seeing really great things in the other segments too, fine dining, casual dining, and then the variations of those. We're seeing growth as well, and premium, fast casual, and premium casual as well. So there's a bunch of different segments and lots of different business opportunities in each of them.
When I think of fine dining, Riley, there's no better place in the Pacific Northwest. Obviously, Seattle and Portland. I mean, we are spoiled in the Northwest, not only because of the farms and the food that we have here and the ocean and the wine and the beer and the spirits. Obviously, this is flowing into some of the top restaurants, not only in the region, but these restaurateurs that you mentioned are now branching out beyond the Northwest. It's pretty special.
It is. A lot of the trends that are coming out of these areas, the Northwest is really the top incubator for culinary innovation and manufactured food and beverage products. And what we're seeing is a lot of groups around the country are either purchasing from the Northwest from a product standpoint, or they're adopting the styles that you're seeing in the Northwest in their menus. If you go to Los Angeles or you go to New York or others, you're seeing a lot of trends that originated here in the Northwest on the menus, especially with craft cocktails and microbrews and sophisticated coffee programs. And most of these had their roots right here in the Northwest.
And I know you've been closely associated with House Spirits. Our friend Ryan McGarian and the rebranding of Aviation Gin, and as they've taken this now national, talk about a great success story, what they've done at House Spirits to take Aviation Gin to an entirely new level.
They've done a nice job, and personally, I really like the product, and that's why I think it has to be a good product, no matter what it is. So I certainly love their new branding, but the product speaks for itself, and they're doing a great job, and one that I think is going to have a nice long run in the space that they're in.
Any others up and coming? I know you've got the inside track that we should keep an eye on here in the next couple of years.
On the beverage side?
Beverage and restaurant.
I think there's a lot of restaurants that we see here locally that are scaling nicely. The Matador folks are opening in Denver, Colorado, relatively soon, and are branching out. We're seeing a lot of our clients getting opportunities outside of the Northwest that they're acting upon. A lot of them are being very proactive about it. When Andy Ricker decided he was going to go to New York and open PocPoc, a lot of people said, "Wow, that's a big step." But he's shown that it can be done in a very effective manner. And I think the demand for concepts and businesses from the Northwest is going to continue to grow because of the high quality nature of the offerings and the people behind them.
That's Riley Loggison from Davis Wright Tremaine, one of the top restaurant attorneys in the entire nation. When we come back, we'll talk to Riley about the biggest challenges facing restaurants across our region. That's up next on Business Briefing.